bit after that incredible time of worshiping the Lord. The Lord's put some things on my heart to share, but we're going to spend time at the tables in prayer with each other, in prayer personally, and sharing. So I felt like that was one of the main things God wanted us to have time for this week. Last month, I gave you lots. Today, I want you to have time to talk about it with each other and really work with the Lord with it. So one thing you're going to need is to be able to write. So does anybody, just raise your hand so I know how many to run get. Does anybody not have something to write with and something to write on? So would you grab that? Okay, so we'll need a pile. You're welcome to have coffee at the table, hopefully put a lid on it so that when your journal is there and your coffee, you won't knock them together like I did.
I'm going to listen to your sound. If it starts to whistle, it's because you have gotten too close to a speaker, so just walk.
Try to stay here. Okay.
No, walk around as you want, but if it does
whistle,
that, just come
all right.
Back.
Thank you, dear.
Then I'm going to stay over here.
I don't want you to miss the... You'll know when there's a...
Oh, yeah. That might get lost.
Who's my... Somebody whistles in here. Judy whistles. Okay.
Hey, Don.
I want to tell you a few things before we get into the meat of what we're doing today. The goal by the end of today, we're going to have time to pray. It's not a coincidence in God's plan that today is just a couple days before the midterm elections. It's not a coincidence that our country, if you don't have your eyes on the Lord, you could be in a bad place looking at what's going on. It's not a coincidence that Judy's song choice is more appropriate for today than it would have been in August, because we are talking about, you could look around and think things are hopeless, but God has a bigger plan, and God has a plan for you. He has a plan for this country, and he has some words for us today that he wants us to do. So I'm excited about that. He's been speaking to me about this for a long time, me personally. And I just want to encourage you with that. I'm not going to go into it totally today, but I want you to know that there is a bigger picture than most see with what's happening in our country today. And it runs the gamut of hopeless, if you don't know the Lord, it's beyond, and exciting if you can get a glimpse of who God is and what his plan is and what he is capable of. And the weird thing is he wants to use us. And he wants us to be ready so that he can use us. So this is the scripture that has just been cemented in me for months and months. And God keeps bringing it back. And we're gonna dissect it. But it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. So grab onto that. We're going to dissect it and think about it and pray about it and do some things. So let's pray before I go any farther. Precious Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that you have put on my heart, all that you have been doing in my life, all that you have planned for today for these beautiful women. With all my heart, I believe, Lord, that you brought them here today despite an urge to stay in bed or to relax or to take the easier way. Lord, you want them to be encouraged today. You want them to be uplifted. You want to know how, want them to know how much you love them and that you have a plan. So, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over us. Lord, we pray that the enemy who prowls around, I know like a lion, but I'm thinking like a skunk, trying to distract us and keep us from hearing your voice. Lord, we just break that off in the name of Jesus and say, we will not take it. And Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear all that your Holy Spirit would want to reveal to us today, that we would have eyes to see and a heart that says, yes, Lord. Lord, if there's anything that is hay and stubble, please take it away, even right now, and cause only what you want us to think about and pray about to be on our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Is it the round button or the arrow? Thank you. And I point it. And are we pausing still? Don't we love Don being here? Maybe I'll just tell you a story that Satan does not want us to know this, and he has been trying hard to keep you from being able to know this. And we knew that in our women's leadership, and we've been praying about this time. And God said this is warfare, and we need to have our armor on because Satan is not the cute little devil with the red suit. He is really not. He wants us to feel hopeless. That's his goal. And we are not hopeless. So I asked specifically the ladies to pray because I felt the pressure and the enemy working. And he has been. And it's been. I have felt that it's a battle. And it last night, even yesterday at the prayer breakfast, someone asked me if I was all better and feeling well. And I said, well, almost. But I just have this little tiny feel of he's trying to make me get a cold again, and I'm not going to have it. And I've been praying. Well, last night, it was like overwhelming, and I tried to go to bed, and I could not breathe, and I hate that. And everything in me just was feeling yucky. So I finally got up, and I laid on the couch, and I put the pillow up so I could get my head up, and somehow I fell asleep about 1 o'clock. And I'm excited that it's funny. I fell asleep, and I'm on the couch in the living room. And around the corner in, I'm not sure what it is in my new place, family room, the TV went on. And I woke up like this, and I hear this really loud voice just, and finally, I'm trying to think, what on earth is going on? I didn't even know it was the TV. So I got up, and I'm trying to figure out where this voice and horribly loud noise is coming from. I go, and the TV is on. And there's this goofy-looking guy sitting at a desk. I don't know if he was trying to do a comedy routine or what, because I was just, what? Just shaking his fist and talking like this, and I'm thinking, well, that is stupid. And I kind of had my antenna up, said, oh, enemy's just trying to wake me up when I'm trying to sleep. So I go over and find the remote and turn it off, and you know what? It didn't go off.
Oh, no. Oh, my
God. So then I prayed, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking, you think this is going to work? It's not going to work. It's only you. I don't remember who it was. Was it Martin Luther who saw the enemy and woke up and said, oh, it's only you? Well, I felt that. I felt that. It's only you. But it made me mad. And I said, Lord, you know I need a little sleep before I go tomorrow. So would you just turn off the TV and let me go back to sleep? So I tried clicking it one more time. And you know, it went off. And all of a sudden, I could breathe. And I thought, okay, so I'm going back to bed. So I went back to bed and fell asleep. It was way too short. But all of that to say, God has a plan for you, and Satan doesn't like it. And it's okay. Ha! It's okay because We can break it off. We have the power to break it off. And we don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to feel hopeless about anything if we keep our eyes on the Lord. Okay. So we're going to go back to the Chronicles verse, 7:14. If my people, so the if is important. God often says, if, and we have to really figure out what the if is, because that refers to us, my people. If my people. Okay, we're going to talk about what's our job, and then we'll go to the then and see what God promises. So if my people, who are called by my name, will pray, how? If my people who are called by my name will
humble
themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is critical. It's not, oh God, make them turn from their wicked ways. Make them see how stupid they're being. Make them see how violent they're being. Make them see how wrong they are. No. God didn't say that. He didn't say anything about that. Isn't that bizarre? Wouldn't we think we have a plan for everybody else that's being not like us? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, not try to humble others, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, the then is very exciting. Then I will hear. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Okay, he didn't say, if you sign enough petitions and if you join the protest march and if you get into a debate with most people, then we'll work and heal your land. No, this is all we have to do. But it's big. Okay, you can chalk this up to, I've been going without sleep, but this sort of made me laugh. I don't know if you remember this. I never saw the movie. It's actually Taxi Driver. Never saw the movie. But all my life, I've had this phrase, are you talking to me? It was funnier for me. So it goes back to if my people. Is God talking to you? Don't just assume he is. Make sure that you are part of my people. And yes, I am, but there's an if here. There's a big if here. And at our tables, we're going to be praying, and we're going to be talking and reading some scriptures, but I want this part to be taken care of in our minds and in our hearts before we do some work with the Lord. So we're going to read some scripture. He said, if they will turn from their wicked ways. And the scripture that comes to me right away is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In the King James Version, you know what it says? See if there is any wicked way in me. This tells me that I have to work with the Lord because sometimes I can't see those wicked ways. You search me, God, and know my heart. Because sometimes I'm speaking generically here. Sometimes I look just fine. God sees the heart. So we're asking him in all humility, this is the humble yourself part. Humble yourself before the Lord and say, search my heart and see. Test my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive or wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. So that part, before we can pray for our nation, we have to make sure this is secure and that I am one of his people. I'm missing a slide, which is interesting. Huh. Well, we're going to move on, and I'm going to come back to some more scripture. Hopefully it got just mixed up. This is a visual that I give to myself. And this is to help you see the wicked ways, build a wall between you and the Lord. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities, your sin, your cardboard blocks have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. I thought about that a lot because I'm thinking, I don't hear him. Well, you know what? He doesn't hear me. Have you ever said, God doesn't answer my prayers? Well, ask him about this. Is my wall? Do I have a wall? Let me tell you. Yes, you do. We all do. We all have a wall. But he's given us a way to take it down. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, say it with me, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, it's not just forgive me of all my sins. It's, Lord, thank you for bringing to mind that thing that I'm still holding on. And you know what else? That was an example of a really hard one. And I have to say to him, but I can't do it without you. Apart from you, I could do nothing, especially forgive this pretty big thing in my life. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have to say, Lord, you know where my heart is on that. I want to, with all my heart. I'm not just saying it because the guy on the radio said I should or Sue's telling me now. I want to do that, but I need your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I forgive and tell him what you're forgiving. And if there's anything else I need to do, let me know. And then I just ask you to lead me away from that. And when I ask his forgiveness, he says as far as the east, I should have thrown it backwards, east is from the west, it goes. Now, I can say, oh man, I just remembered. And you know, sure hurt my feelings. Okay, it's right back. But not God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, well, you know, you've done this before. That's me, my responsibility, because I went and got it and put it back. And sometimes I have the feeling that he's just getting ready to do this, and I grab it out of his hand and put it back. It can be big or it can be little, but it doesn't matter. It puts a block. All right. The thing about this is, you know some things that come to your mind right away. If you think, okay, I've got a wall, and I know that, you know, somebody drives me nuts, and it's right here, and it came to my mind without you having to tell me, Lord, so I know it's a sin, and I'm sorry. Maybe I judge that person whenever I see them because they drive me nuts. But, Lord, you love them. Okay, one thing I have to say, oh, well, good. Thanks, Lord. You love them. Oh, good. See, when you start working.
Yeah, very good illustration.
I don't know where he's going, so it's probably not important. Okay, so the main point is there are some little things that just come to your mind right away. Take care of them. They're easy. Get rid of them. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry for judging that person. It's not that I'm taking that lightly, but it's easy. Oh, I realize that. I am sorry. Maybe I've judged. That's something we do, and we got to stop. Whining and complaining. Is that okay because it's just kind of who I am? No. God hates it when we whine and complain. I'm sorry, Lord. But I need your Holy Spirit for that one. I forgive you. Now, the rest are bigger, and I might not even know they're there. So that's when you pray. You take care of what you know about. Get that off the top of the wall. And then say, Lord, what else? My God loves me. He's gentle. He's kind. He's not going to say, whoa, I've been waiting for you. I am going to load the dump truck up and just... No, he usually tells me one thing or, you know, some related things. And when he says it, okay, well, like yesterday, it didn't just come to my mind. He told me, ask him, what in my life is a sin that has put a block between you and me so that I can't see you? I'm not hearing you, but even worse, you're not hearing me. And he'll tell you something, I promise. So we're going to go to our tables, and as you sit there, I want you to meet with the Lord and ask him those things. What time you need just to get in a prayer mode with him to get this taken care of. Ask him what sins you need to take care of, but you need your pen and something to write on. Now, does everybody have that? Okay. When he says it, write it down. Because you know what? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I find that what he steals is stuff out of my memory all the time, good or bad. Even when you asked me about the song, it doesn't matter that I can't remember that, but it does matter if I can't remember what God told me. So I write it down. And then repent with him, ask for forgiveness, and I just think, visualize him tossing that block when you do it. And then say, Lord, I need your help to do this, but I'm going to leave it there. I'm not picking it up again. Anxious thoughts. Raise your hand if you ever get a little anxious about anything. God says, uh-uh. He doesn't say, don't be anxious about little things, but it's okay to be anxious about big things. He says, be anxious for nothing. If God writes it in his word, and we don't do it, we're sinning. And every time, it adds a block. Okay, one more hint, and then I'm going to let you pray. This is a enemy wall that likes to keep on building, the building that never quits. So I have found through doing it the wrong way a lot of my life, you have to do this every day. And you can clear the wall if you do. Now, when you start, I don't know how big your wall is, but it might take a while because you don't want him to do it all in one day. You might not survive. But whatever he does today, go back to him tomorrow and say, okay, what else? And get rid of some more. When you're done, keep going every day, and you're basically going to have no wall. You might have two or three, but, oh, we can do that together, Lord. Not to say that they're not big things. I'm not saying that at all. He also says practice. So if whatever you've heard or learned or seen or received from me, put it into practice. So practice with the little things. Like, you know, I yelled at that person who cut in front of me yesterday. You know, is that a big deal in the eternal scheme of things? No. Is it the right thing? No. So practice with those little things. And then when you get down to the bottom where the big things are, you know how it works. And together with the Holy Spirit, you can do it. And it might feel like you're just doing it this way. It's got some cement on it now. It's been there so long and it's so big. But with the Holy Spirit, you can get rid of it. If you don't have to raise your hand. But if you feel like the Lord is not answering your prayers, or if you don't even feel like talking to him, it's probably because you can't see him. So this is critical. Before you do anything, like you're going to want to pray for our country and pray for our nation, God's not going to hear you if your wall has gotten so big. Don't think you have to wait till you know it's all gone. Did you see that peephole earlier? I think peepholes work, but not for a lifetime, just for now, until the peephole gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it's gone. Okay, so I want you to sit at your table quietly by yourself and meet with the Lord and ask him to work with you to dismantle the wall. Yes, Janine.
What came to me while you were talking is that that wall, the bricks are chinked or held together by a fence.
Oh, fence?
Ah.
Mm. Yes, I will. Janine said that it came to her while she was looking at the wall that the chinks that hold the blocks together, you know how I kept knocking them down, there's something that holds them together, and the word that I think the Lord gave her is offense, which leads to unforgiveness. If we are offended, we have to forgive. So, thank you.
If it's not handled, it probably leads to strongholds.
Yes. Not probably. It will.
It will.
Okay. So after, I'll tell you when, but I want you to be able to talk about this. So spend this time with the Lord by yourself, dismantling some of your wall. And then if you have questions or if you have an incredible insight to share with your table, you'll have a little time for that. Okay? So we'll be quiet so that everyone can just listen to the Lord. Before we move on to sharing at your tables and having a chance, Elizabeth has a song that she felt like the Lord wanted to sing now that is very appropriate for what we're just talking about. And I would urge you to just combine this with your prayer in however the Lord leads it for you. And then when she's done, we'll just take a minute just to stay in that posture. And two phrases that are helpful to me when I'm praying with the Lord, I just say, is there anything you want to say to me? Or is there anything else you want to say to me? With the attitude of, I'm listening, Lord. And the second one, is there anything standing in the way of me hearing from you today? Thank you, Elizabeth.
Tender and vulnerable right now, but that's okay because that's what God protects, isn't it? And that's where He loves us. And this song is called Forgiveness, and I've really been one that God's led for many years to not hold grudges. But I had a sister-in-law. I have a sister-in-law. For a long time, for years, I don't know what I did to offend her or what, but there's always been tension between us. And it hurts my heart. And every time we get together for family functions, I just felt like I get the evil eye, you know. And my dad passed away suddenly about 5 weeks ago, and we had his memorial service 2 weeks ago, and I knew I'd be seeing her again. They live in North Dakota, so we don't see each other very often, but I had let these walls build up between me and her just because she wouldn't accept my acts of kindness, but I also realized maybe she felt the same about me. Maybe she had tried to do things to show she loves me, but through my frame, I didn't receive those. And so I figured over 20 years, there was probably, I knew there was walls there for sure, and I knew that there was critical spirit in my heart that had built up, even because she wouldn't receive what I gave her, you know, or I prayed for her and she, or I approached her and she didn't accept it. And I think there's times when we try to do the right thing and someone doesn't receive that, and then we start to build up walls of resentment too, and that's what the enemy wants to do, to drive a wedge. And so I wrote her, I started writing this song before my dad's memorial weekend, and I couldn't finish it. And I was like, Lord, even the Friday before Saturday was his memorial, I was like, Lord, why can't I finish this song? And I saw her on Saturday, and I just like, Lord, however it goes, I'm just going to let it go and go with the flow and have soup. We'll travel wherever we decide to meet together as a family afterwards. I wasn't going to try to arrange anything. And she and my brother had rented a house, and they ended up having all of us over to their house for dinner that night, and we all just potlucked it. And it was the most amazing time. And it had started out with her evil eyes. I perceived it that way, right, that morning towards me. And by that evening, we were singing worship songs together. Our kids were, and I just saw a beautiful thing in her family, that her kids love Jesus too. And she's, and I saw her mom and how she and her mom interact. I'm like, oh, that's why she is the way she is. I mean, it's nothing bad. It's just different than me. And she loves my brother. And I realized I had judged her for things that were different than the way I am in my life, but they weren't wrong. They were just different. And God's writing her story, and he's writing my story. And there was and I'd been praying too, and there was a breakthrough, and I asked her for forgiveness that night. And I don't know, in the middle of all the din, if she actually heard me. So I wrote her a letter the next day, and I sent it off, or an email. I sent it off to her because I wanted to be free, and I wanted her to get it right away. And I was able to finish the song. And I was like, Lord, you say before you bring your gifts to the altar, go and make things right with your brother or your sister, and then come and offer your gift. And I felt like this is a gift that God's given me, but I couldn't finish this song until I made things right with her. Even if I don't know what I did wrong, I know that there's things that have built up in my heart, and I needed to get free from that. And after I walked through this song of forgiveness and healing, I felt this freedom, this new, a lid had been lifted off of me. So I just want to share it with you, because I feel like there's many of us that have relationships in our life that we've let walls build up in, and we need to do our part to forgive, to ask forgiveness, to forgive ourselves, and allow God to heal our hearts. And if we are so blessed, I haven't received any response from her, but I know in my heart that what I've sent can minister to her, and in time God will heal. And I know he's healing my heart, and I did what I was supposed to do out of obedience. And so I just want to pray that for you, my sisters, that you can have freedom in your life too. See if I can get through this. I know with God's help I can. I never meant for the words that I say to tear at your heart, to hurt you that way. I never meant for walls to come between us. You are a gift that God sent from heaven to reach out and touch your world. Your life may look different than mine does, but you're still God's precious girl, who's full of God's gifting and promise, and wrapped up in his loving arms, who loves on your friends and your family. You have your own kind of beauty and charm. So right now I'm asking for you to forgive me when I had a critical heart. I know that God's writing each of our stories and weaving his beautiful art. We both have a journey to follow while we let God take hold of our hand. Let's throw off this burden that's been weighing us down and run freely to all he has planned. Let's go to our Heavenly Father and drink his forgiveness cup to receive the healing he's promised, because he loves us so much. Praying, Jesus, wash me in your healing flow. I receive forgiveness. I let the hurt go. Take what's bitter, the anger and pain. Let your love heal those wounds. Make me whole again. Yes, Jesus, wash me in your healing flow.
overflow. I receive forgiveness. I let the hurt go. Take what's bitter, all the anger and pain. Let your love heal those wounds and make me whole again. Oh, I've been washed in your healing flow.
Listening to that again. Here's the other sweet thing. Elizabeth wasn't supposed to be here today, and when I texted her about it, she was in Spokane and said she couldn't come, and I said, we'll miss you, and Lord had another idea. So isn't that fun? All right, I'm going to back up to give you a little more scripture before we go on. I think. Before the wall, I said I couldn't find these, but when we talked about, am I one of those people? This is a scary one that we have to take really inventory with ourselves in the Lord. Romans 10:9. Yes, I am one of those people that God's talking about. If my people who are called by my name, I am one, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We can take confidence in that, but we also have to take some other things. Matthew 7:21, there's evidence. How do you know? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's scary. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So I'm often reminded of the scripture that says, you know, people will say, yes, I believe in God. But God said, well, even Satan believes in God. That's not the peace that's going to give you assurance of your salvation and the ability to hear from God and talk to God and have a relationship with him. So these are sobering ones that as you are having your quiet time and continue with your quiet time, just make sure that your heart is here. Now we can't say, well, I never do anything wrong, so I'm obviously okay. We all have our walls, right? We all have them. But we also know the command, that if you love me, you will obey me. And when God says, wait a minute, you're not obeying me, we have a choice. We can say, well, I obey you on most things. That one's too hard. You don't understand how hard that is. And move on. Uh-uh. But we can humble ourselves before him and say, I can't. I love it to be able to say, apart from you, I can do nothing. We're in agreement on that. But we also have to know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So can I obey? Obeying God's command is easy to write and easy to say, but not easy to do, because there's a whole Bible full of commands. And he tells you things along the way. Like yesterday, God said to me, when I was preparing, he said, someone had said something to me, done something that was a little hurtful. I mean, on the scale of 1 to 10, it was about a 1. But my feelings were hurt. And he brought that to my mind very gently, and I said, I know, but you know what they did? And he said, I know. What's your job? Well, I have to forgive. He said, yes, and this was the hard part. He said, you have to apologize. Well, but you know what they did? I mean, I wasn't that crazy with him, but I reminded him like he needed it. And he said, apologize. So, just to be vulnerable before you, I didn't. Because it wasn't, you know, they didn't appear before me. It wasn't convenient, but he brought them before me. And I said, did I do something to offend you? Is that an apology? It was not. And you know what they said? No. And I went on. Now, the Lord, at that point, and I knew it. I could see it. I said, all right. So I apologized. And it was painful. But the brick's gone. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. That was a practice of a little thing. That was so little, and I couldn't even do it. I'm so sorry. I don't want to do that again. Forgive me. And God isn't the God of second chances. He's the God of many, many, many. But not so that we say, you know, he gives me so many chances, I don't have to do that one, because that was uncomfortable. Right? We have to make a decision in our heart that we're going to obey when he tells us something. And if we mess up, invite him. Before you mess up, invite him. Lord, if I mess up, I want your Holy Spirit to tell me. And I'd rather you tell me right away, and I want to determine in my heart that I'm going to obey you right away, because it's more painful. Promise. It's more painful if you don't and you wait. And you say, well, you know, if they come over to my house today, even though they don't know where my new house is, I will. I will do that. No. So you know it wasn't Betty. Okay. Okay, so we already dealt with 139. So see, we're going to be able to skip ahead. This is going to be one of my new symbols for you to come back, but you have to be looking because I'm not going to holler at you. First, before you come back, I'm going to give you some work I've been doing for a while, and I wanted to make it small enough so you could put it in your journal, so it's not everything about what God says about our responsibility for prayer, for our nation, for our country, and for those in authority. And then you're going to have a chance to do this together at your table, a chance to talk at your table. And I want you to read this together. Let's see. Marcy, would you make sure everybody has those at your end of the deal? And Renee, would you make sure everyone has one on this end? I want you to read it. So there's a facilitator at each table. That's the important person with the name tag on the end. And mostly important people at the tables. So have somebody read one verse, and then take time to, not a long time, because we're, you know, time is really flying fast. I'm talking too much again, sorry. Take time to pray. Silently first for just a little bit. Lord, and this is what I'd love you to say. Lord, what do you want to say to me? After you read that, just say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? He doesn't, when he knows you really want to hear, he doesn't hold back. I promise. Write down what he says, and then you can have a little time to talk, just a little bit. If something comes to you, not everybody at the table has to share. If something came to you that was an aha for you on that one, share it. And then go have someone else read the next verse, someone else read the next verse, someone else need the and read it out loud is what I'm saying. So, because I know some people, I had to make it tiny because I wanted to get it tiny for your journal. Took me a long time for this. I am not proud of how long it took. So, do you understand? Any questions? You are going to read it out loud because one person is going to read the first one out loud for the table. Second person is going to read the next verse out loud for the table. Third person, read the next one out loud so that you all have something to come back to and say, man, what about, or aha, God just told me about the offense thing. He'll tell you things to share. Okay, yes? However you want. Elizabeth, you're my new facilitator right now at that table. Oh, my dear ones. We could go on and on and on with this. But if you take nothing else with you, do take the scripture, and especially the Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We can stand on that and say, I'm holding you to that promise, Lord, and I commit to pray. And if I've taken care of this business and commit that I'm going to keep taking care of this business, I can pray to the Lord. I'm not going to tell him what to do, like give me somebody authority that I like, but I'm going to pray. What does it say to pray for authority? Does it say to pray for the good authority that you like, but you don't have to pray for the authority that you don't like? No.
It's the position, it's not the person.
But praying is the key. You're not trying to change. I think I was talking to this table. God put it on my heart to do a little bit of research about the kings of Israel. And the original scriptures are from the Old Testament. And the kings of Israel, how many would you consider to be good as opposed to evil? Depends on what research you do, but you're probably both right. Two at the most. The one I read and felt like it made sense to me was it said one, but he wasn't good till the very end. Now, God said at that time, pray for those in authority. Bless them. Did he say bless them? And there's a promise about prosper, that they would prosper and you will prosper. And I'll have peace. Not if they're good. God can use anyone. We're proof of that. God can use anyone for his purposes. And he used people in the Bible. I'm just going to give you just this one little, I'm not selling you on it, but if you are interested at all, if you read or heard about the book, The Harbinger, there's another book by Jonathan Cahn called The Paradigm, and it compares the Old Testament apostasy, which was sacrificing children and immorality and what caused God to say, there was no one standing in the gap, so I just I left them alone? No, he destroyed. Because no one was praying. The paradigm, I have spent quite a bit of time, because it's hard to digest, compares Old Testament Israel to the United States of America. And it is, on one hand, devastating to see the how he draws the paradigm, which means a pattern from what happened and what's happening now. It's devastating. But it's also shockingly hopeful because of what God can do with people who don't even know he's using them. So anyway, if you're interested at all, it's a I love it. Okay, let's move from there. There's another one I'm going to be using to get you back. That one, I miss you. But I want to say about this 2 Chronicles 7:14. I hope you'll memorize it. I hope you'll put it in your heart, because I think about it all the time, and it changed the way I pray. It changed the way I think. When I have people come to my door to tell me exactly the opposite of how I believe, it changed my heart. And I can say, I'm praying for you. I don't try to beat them over the head. I tell them what I think, but I pray for them. I also feel like God has been speaking to me for a long time about revival, and saying that, in a nutshell, revival starts right here with me, falling in love with God's word. As I prayed for you to fall in love with God's word, I fell in love more than ever with God's word and with spending time with him and being in his presence. And I believe that's the start of revival in my heart. And he tells us to pray for revival. And it's been so on my heart that I've read about the revivals. And every revival that we are envious of started with people committed to pray for revival. And it has to start with you. It doesn't start with them. Bring them into revival. It's me into revival. And you know what else happens? We rub up against people. And they say, what is wrong with you? And we can talk and pray. Whoops. And knock down walls. Which brings me to another passion that I have, small groups. I believe that revival happens through relationship, and I love church. I love our pastors. I love coming to church on Sunday morning, but I don't think it's enough. If you walk in the door on Sunday morning and walk home and that's it, you can't rub up against someone. You can't hear about their life. You can't hear them say, this is how I was just chatting with Janine about journaling. You don't have time for that on Sunday. You get fed, and you do nurture your relationship, but you've got to be with people who love the Lord. And it's where discipleship happens, where the older women are with younger women. Not to teach them, necessarily, sometimes, but to, was it Mother Teresa who said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. We have to be together to do that. Have you been in a group with someone? I'm going to use Karen because she's not here, and I've told you this before, but God told us to lead a class together, and I didn't know her very well. I mean, I saw her on Sundays, but I didn't know her heart, and I didn't know her commitment to prayer, and I didn't know her journaling is to die for. But I would never have known that from Sunday morning, good morning, it's nice to see you. We led a class together, and I swear, when I think about rubbing up against people, I could not get close enough. I was leading the class. But when she would talk, it was E.F. Hutton. She'd say, well, you know how she'd, well, last night when I was talking to the Lord, and you grab your book. What did he say? It's wonderful. We do that for each other. We all do. Don't you dare say, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. If you love the Lord, you have stuff to say, you have stuff to share, you have rub-up ability to share with other people. And God said, not to the leaders, go and make disciples. He said that to every disciple. Are we disciples of Jesus? Are we?
Amen.
Are you talking to me? Yes. But we have to make disciples. And it's not that I'm saying you have to hold a class and teach a class everything you know. No. Some will be called to do that. And I'll let you know. But we are called to be in relationships so that we can disciple and share what we know, maybe just by someone looking at you and say, well, why do you do that? I wish I could do that. And then you can answer, and that's your testimony of what the Lord's doing in you. So we have some small groups, a new one starting. If it might be of interest to you, I'm going to start a little clipboard, two clipboards. On Wednesday mornings, I'm going to start a class. I don't know for sure. It depends on who's in the class, but I think 10 o'clock. If that is something of interest to you, please put your name down. Even if you change your mind, it's okay, but I want to kind of get a feel. And then we are going to have an evening class. And we just are still, God told us we need two leaders, and we're still praying about leaders and day and time. But if you are interested in an evening class, I'd like you to just say, put your name down, I'm interested. Again, you don't have to pay up front. But we want to know how many are interested in an evening class. So I'm going to start that one there. And I'm excited about it because I've been praying, Lord, what do you want this small group to look like? We are not going to be studying a book that I know of. But we are going to dig deeper into stuff. So we're going to dig a little deeper probably in prayer for our nation. We're going to dig a little deeper into sermons. Sermons. They are so anointed, so packed, so profound that if you just listen on Sunday, it's not enough. I have some personal knowledge of one of the pastors. I have learned to take notes this way. I write scripture, I leave a big blank. I write scripture, I leave a big blank. And then I listen to it again, and I get more out of it. We're going to practice doing that a little bit. And then I said, Jerry, we meet together every morning, unless something happens, and we read our devotions together, we pray together, we talk, and invariably, I'll say something, and you'll say, well, you know, it says in Chronicles and Hebrews and whatever, and I'm writing as fast as I can. It's just the two of us. And I'll say, well, oh, that's so great. And I've said it so many times. I've said, oh, I wish the ladies could be here because I can't even explain this. And then I can say, yeah, but what about this? And he doesn't have to prepare a presentation. He'll just say, oh, this. And it's like, oh, I feel guilty because I just feel like I get so much out of that. So I said, all right, if we have a class on Wednesday mornings, and sometimes we are talking about something that I wish you could be there. Will you come and just sit and let people ask you questions about that? And would you share a little bit about whatever? So he's going to do that. And we're going to just dig deeper on stuff that you want to dig deeper on. So the Holy Spirit will lead it. I don't have a syllabus. I just have excitement about some of the things God said, and we're going to keep going with that. So let me know if you're interested, and I think that is it. I wanted to be done by 11 o'clock. Sorry. But there is an amazing feast ready for you, so I hope you don't. If you need to rush off, feel free. But if you come back and then have a little more time to share, if you have questions for me or corrections for me, I'm going to be here. Then I have to rush out because I get to babysit my youngest grandson today. So don't think I'm trying to avoid you. I'm going to rush to do that.